Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday, January 5th, the biggest Vikings game in recent memory, Pete. I don't know that I remember one since maybe 2010. Vikings-Lions today, Ford Field. Before we break this game down, I got to say, I love the fact that the Wilfs purchased a bunch of tickets at Ford Field for season ticket members to go in and watch the game at a discounted price. I love this. What a great, like, I don't know what you want to call it. It's gamesmanship, I guess. But it really is like, I guess what? Because this could go either way, right? I mean, and you know this better than I do, that every coach, every NFL player coach looks for little things you can kind of put up on the bulletin board, right? To say, okay, this is what they're doing, so this is why we should, you know, be upset or play harder with more emotion. It's risky, but I still like it. I love it.
I don't know how risky it is, though, right? I mean,
that's what I'm asking is, does the opposing coach
use it?
Does Dan
Campbell?
Thank you, Campbell. Does Dan Campbell put that up there and go, this is how they feel about us, guys? They're bringing their fans here to try to rattle us, and we're not going to let them.
They're coming in scared. That's what I would say. If I'm Dan Campbell, I get in front of the guys and go, look, these guys are all about smoke and mirrors. That's why we're wanting to play against these guys today, and we're going to win this thing so that we can get ourselves in position. And I think that's a legitimate thing for him to say to the squad, quite frankly, before they get out there on the field and start looking at the Vikings, because they've got to come up with a few things. Their defense is so beat up, Dave. I have never seen a team. They've got 10 guys on the defensive side of the ball that are on IR presently, maybe 11.
Wow. So sounds like my fantasy team this year.
You and me.
My
both.
Entire team was on IR at one point.
But, you know, you look at that, and then you look even, you know, we've always liked the fact that they've had this two-headed monster. Well, I say like the fact, if you're a Viking fan, you probably don't like it. But they have the two-headed monster in Gibbs and Montgomery's out. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are sort of adding up for the Lions. And in a lot of ways, I think Dan Campbell is that kind of guy that, from a psychology standpoint, is going to get up there in front of everybody and point out all these things and say why they're still going to win this football game and they're going to have home field advantage. And let me say this, 2,000 seats, if they were able to accomplish every one of those 2,000 seats, how many seats are in the stadium, Dave? I'm saying 70?
It has to be 60 or 70, right?
Yeah, somewhere close to 70,000, I would bet. So,
Detroit draws well. I've been there. Like, those people get nuts for that team.
They're diehard. They are so diehard because they've had their heart broken just like the Vikings so many times over the years. And, you know, now it's the time. They've got, you know, arguably one of the best offenses in a long time, I think, in the National Football League, and not that far off of, you know, the greatest team on turf, right?
What they've done
and what Jared Goff has done this year has been pretty spectacular. And then the injury bug started to hit him a little bit. But I think that there's a lot of things about the Vikings that, you know, there's reasons why the Vikings should be very confident, I think. But also, they've got to figure out how they can get through that defense. The way the defense is beat up, they're going to be coming up onto the Vikings, I think, today, very much like the Vikings usually try to attack their opposing team. They're going to get, because they've got to. When you've got that many guys beat up and hurt and everything else, the defense is got to get some sort of an advantage, and maybe they start to, maybe they go after us pretty aggressively, and we'll see how aggressive they get.
Well, and the offensive line, if there has been a Achilles heel for this offense this year, it's been that. I mean, the offense has been good, but if there is a weak spot, you're right, it's attacking the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Is this team, and this is a question I pose to you and I pose to our audience this morning as well on the WCCO talk and text line, 651-461-9226. If you can remember the 2009-2010 team, is this team better? And I'm not just talking about on paper, because I do, and I'll lay this out, I do think on paper they're better. Is this team better than the 2010 team in your mind?
Mm. You know, it's a great question, Dave. There's so many different parts that when you look at this team, I think they're better than a lot of the teams out there. But I would say this, one of the teams that I think is within the best of all time for the Vikings was that 1998 team that was 15-1. They literally had everything that they needed, and they had home field advantage even, and then they lose to Atlanta, right? So that's I think, the best team that I had ever seen the Vikings put on the field. And you know what? There was a lot of Super Bowl teams that were pretty daggone good back in that era, but this team is pieced together really well. If you want to, you know, kind of nitpick a little bit, though, Dave, how about this? We this year, the Minnesota Vikings, have 8 games where we've given up 360 yards or more on defense. And everybody keeps talking about where we are on defense and how good our defense is. And I just constantly just look at some of the numbers that are out there that doesn't really match up with that, in my opinion. So I don't know. It's interesting to see. The offense has been spectacular. Sam Darnold has been a complete shock. He's done everything right. He came to the right place. I guess the big question, you know, into the future, too, is what do you do with Sam Darnold?
Right? Oh, my goodness,
do you give him a 4-year contract? Because I don't think if he gets the franchise tag, I don't think that's what he was here for. You know what I mean? I think he was here looking for that longer term, looking for that 4-year, I don't know, $45 million
was he, though,
a year.
But was he? Or was he just – because I don't disagree with you. And if I can cut in for a second, because this is an important question. What are they going to do with him next year? And this week, it was last Sunday, I think, I had an epiphany moment. I was taking the garbage out, and I was watching Kevin O'Connell's locker room speech afterwards, which I love. It's my favorite viewing now on Sundays. They absolutely have to have him here next year. And I don't think it's a long-term contract, because I think Sam Darnold was looking for a chance to be a winner, and he's a winner here. Everywhere else, this is his fourth stop. New York was a mess. Carolina was a mess. San Francisco wasn't great. And now he comes here, and he is a winner. There's nothing else out there for you if you're Sam Darnold. If you're the Vikings, however, I don't give him a long-term contract, simply because we have seen too many times one-year wonders. And he can play great, and he's awesome this year, but if you're going to give him a long-term contract, and by giving him a long-term contract, you're basically saying, J.J. McCarthy, either you're going to wait or we're going to, you know, maybe you get rid of him. I don't know.
Do you trade him for a first-round draft pick and maybe another draft pick?
Sam Darnold's 27.
Yeah.
He'll be 28 next year. He is, if you decide after next year, I think you have to I think you have to franchise him, pay him the money, but it's a try before you buy. So try him out one more time next year. I think he's happy with that, because I think he realizes that if he does it again, he gets his long-term contract. He's going to make, what, $40 million if they franchise him? Some ridiculous number like that.
Yeah.
So he'll make plenty of money. He's going to stay in an offense where he knows he can be a winner. I don't think, if he is a smart human being, which I do believe that he is, and his agent is good, they will sit there and they will say, Sam, do you want to go get $40 million or whatever over the next 3 or 4 years in Cleveland or not Houston, I'm just trying to, San Francisco, go back to San Francisco or somewhere else? Or do you want to stay here, take that money you're going to get, and potentially get a long-term deal and be playing in an offense that is poised to be a winner for a long time with what they have? if he doesn't say that that situation's better, then they're not paying attention. Then his camp is just not paying attention because it's a much better situation for him here. And I would be shocked if he decided to go anywhere else.
And
now,
you've locked down JJ, right?
Yeah. I mean, so you've locked down JJ.
He came to the perfect place if he was able to step up, which he's done. And I was the most critical guy probably in Minnesota about Sam Darnold and USC quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'm first to admit that. But all that being said, I think that what I overlooked stupidly on my part was he's got all the pieces of the puzzle, right? You've got three great receivers, three really good tight ends, one of them probably pretty close to elite, right? You've got a nice running back that you were able to pick up from Green Bay. I mean, all the pieces kind of came together for Sam. And that's why I say I think he's staring at something and saying, hey, look, franchise tag, that sounds great, but I'm looking for 4 years. And the problem, too, is how much can you pay Sam, right? I mean, when you look at this, I mean, salary cap is another part of this whole thing, too, and it makes it that much more complicated. So I will tell you this. I was talking to a really good friend of mine who breaks down teams in the NFL, and I was just talking to him yesterday, and he was talking to me. He said, Pete, he goes, do you know how many people in that secondary, their contracts are coming up? And he said, pretty much all of them. So how do you pay those guys and keep that defense, you know, pretty solid in the back part of it? And how do you keep, you know, where is the money going to come from to be able to do any of the different scenarios to try to keep Sam here and keep him happy, right? I mean, it's pretty complicated right now, I think, from a financial standpoint as well.
I mean, the other part of this, too, is that he's done all this without Christian Darrisaw being here most of the year, you know, arguably the best offensive lineman that the team has. So I think that's important, too. Yes, I get it. They're going to have to pay everybody. But I just don't. I guess that's the upside. If you decide that he is a long term contract, you can structure it in such a way that it's not as heavy of a cap hit next year. Right. Then you can bring in some more players,
you know, and I was just going to say, I highlighted all these guys that we're going to have to sign in the secondary. And here's another problem, too. And I'm picking on the defense because I think it's valuable to look at that. And you can pick on the defense. They're in the bottom five teams in passing in yards against in the entire NFL. They're in the middle pack for total yards in the NFL. I keep hearing about how great our defense is every single week. I listen to this station and other stations, and I hear about this, and I just question in my head, what are they seeing that I'm not seeing? We give up a fair amount of points, not a lot, but some, and we certainly bend, and we haven't broke, but we bend a lot. And
yeah, they did again last week.
Right.
Very much so.
And then you look at the Lions, and you go, well, wait a minute. These guys are averaging, you know, basically they're number two in total yards. They're over 400 yards a game, Dave, 33 points a game. That's, you know, either number one or number two in the entire NFL. Their passing yards are amazing. And they've got a lot of pieces to the puzzle. So this will be an amazing game tonight. I can't wait for it, to be honest with you.
Into the WCCO talking text line. How many times have the Vikings put all their money in one player and patchwork the rest of the team, invest in the team? Good point.
It is.
But how many times have they come across a Sam Darnold in the last 20 years?
Never.
In the last 10 years. I mean, when's the last time you looked at the Vikings and said they've got their franchise QB? Nobody wanted to admit Kirk Cousins was that.
Right.
It certainly wasn't Sam Bradford. It certainly wasn't Case Keenum. It certainly wasn't Gus Frerot or Tavares Jackson. You know, rest in peace, Tavares. But it wasn't Brett Favre because he was 39 when he got here, 40 years old.
Yeah.
When is the last? There wasn't a time that I can remember being here, and I've been here since on and off since 2000. I cannot remember since Dante Culpepper if the Vikings had a quarterback that they can look at and say, this guy is good, he's young, and he can sustain us for 2 to 4 years. I don't think you think of franchise quarterbacks as
give Gus Frerot a chance.
I will not give Gus Frerot a chance.
Come on.
He's messing with you, Dave.
I know he is. But I'm just saying, this is the first time that the Vikings have had even close to anything.
What about Joe Webb?
Franchise quarterback.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. How about Christian Ponder? Want to throw him in there, too?
Who's the Tampa quarterback that was a Vikings? Freeman. Yeah, Josh Freeman.
Oh, I was there for that experience.
Oh, my gosh.
The Josh Freeman experience.
Donovan McNabb. We can't forget about him.
Again, but all good quarterbacks, but not franchise potential.
No. Nope.
No.
This is it. So I think because this situation is unprecedented, it calls for an unprecedented game plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the game plan is franchise him for this year, pay him what he needs to pay, get another good look at him next year, and if you like what you see, then you pay him long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that puts a strain on what else you want to do in free agency, but all I can say is make it work. Make it happen somehow. I don't know how, but you make it happen somehow. Where there's a will, there's a way, Pete.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I'll tell you what, this Vikings team is really fun. I mean, if nothing else,
they are.
Like you said, we're enjoying the coach after the games. We enjoy watching these games because Sam Darnold has really stepped up and he's done an amazing job. So there's a lot of reasons for fans to be extremely excited about our team. The fact that we're sitting there right now at 14-2, nobody picked that. Nobody.
Nobody.
Who you were.
Go
ahead, Dave.
To answer the question that we started with, that I do think that this team is better than the 2009-2010 team.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that simply because of consistency. And it comes down to one thing for me, and it bit the Vikings in that NFC Championship game. It's turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
This team is more careful with the ball than the 2010 team was. Yeah. Brett Favre had a penchant for throwing interceptions when you didn't want him to. Adrian Peterson had a fumble problem. Those two things to me together are what make this team better than the 2009-2010 team. Mm-hmm. Not the least of which is, I mean, Sidney Rice was great, but he's not Justin Jefferson.
No.
Percy Harvin was great, but I'd say that's an equal, that's a wash there with Jordan Addison. Percy Harvin's probably a little bit better. Mm. But, I mean, you know, after that, you've got Jalen Naylor who's played well this year.
He stepped up.
Johnny Munt, Oliver, you know, like all these guys who have pitched in. So we're way over time here. I'm sorry, Josh. Josh is going to yell at me. Go ahead.
I will.
Yell at me.